Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Everybody, welcome to the In and After Show. My name is Lindsay Loveridge, and with me as always is Jackie Jane and Mr. AJ Cosplay from the Cartoon Cypher. And this is our My Hero Academia season finale stream. It was the last episode of season 5. So we're going to be talking about that this week, but we're also going to talk about the Super Mario film's recent cast reveal, everything you need to know about the new season of Demon Slayer, and our top 5 most anticipated anime of the fall 2021 season. So, of course, we'll be discussing that season 5 finale. First, we've got some news to discuss before we get into the finale there for My Hero Academia. So, first off, one of the big ones that was announced over the last weekend, people had a lot of really strong opinions about this, is the Mario animated film. Now, during the Nintendo Direct, they announced the voice cast for this animated film. It's coming from Illumitoon. And, well, AJ, I know you're going to have opinions about this for sure. So before we get to AJ's opinions, Jackie's opinions, I'm just going to run down the cast really quick. So if you missed the news, you know.
Yeah, you know me so well, Lindsay.
I do. I have gotten a pretty good feel for you over the last 6 months. So first off, we've got Chris Pratt, second from the left there, also known as Star-Lord. He's voicing Mario. And then we have the Queen's Gambit star, Anya Taylor-Joy. She'll be voicing Princess Peach. He's not pictured here, but we've got Always Sunny in Philadelphia star Charlie Day as Luigi. Jack Black as the King of Koopas, aka Bowser. Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong. Keegan-Michael Key as Toad. Fred Armisen as Cranky Kong. Kevin Michael Richardson as Kamek. And Sebastian Maniscalco, I hope I did that right, I'm so sorry, as Spike. And the longtime voice of Mario, Charles Martinet, will have a cameo in the movie, but he is not voicing Mario. I'm going to turn it over to AJ first, because I know he just can't wait to tell us exactly what he thinks about a bunch of A-list stars replacing pre-established voices from the video games in this new movie. AJ.
How much time do you have? No, it's... Well, you said it yourself. The internet's reaction was very loud that day. Mm-hmm. Both what was announced and kind of how it was announced, because it was in the middle of the Nintendo Direct. And I like how they showcased all these games, dropped the cast announcement, and then just said bye and showed like other things.
My favorite later haters.
Yeah.
Nintendo's out.
My favorite tweet that came out of this, and there were so many memes. That is one thing I will praise that came out of this, was the memes. Someone shared the screenshots of the cast announcements. Like, no, Nintendo, you can't just expose this to us for 30 seconds and then go right off and talk about Splatoon 3 like that. I don't like it at all. Personal feelings about Chris Pratt aside, and the whole thing, this is just, it's the Space Jam thing all over again when they got Zendaya to play Lola Bunny. And I already went off about that online and was going to make a video about it, but I just didn't have time. And then when this came out, and I'm like, oh, I guess I have to make that video, because it keeps happening. And obviously the world correlates to my will. So it just feels very... So celebrity casting has been like a prominent thing in the industry. I think like it's always been around, but I think the definitive tipping point was Robin Williams as the genie in Aladdin. And that was a case where he specifically did not want to be marketed for the film, but Disney said otherwise. And then that film became a hit, and it sort of became this thing of like, we need high-list celebrity actors to sell a movie. And that's always the thing. These are all great actors.
Well, I was just going to say that is the thing, but to me, that's such a moot point. Like, this is a Mario movie. All right. You put, animated Mario in the trailer, you put him on the posters.
How much more do you need to sell Mario?
People know who Mario is. It doesn't matter who you get to voice Mario. It's not like more people are going to go see the Mario movie because Chris Pratt is Mario. They're going to go see it because they've grown up with Mario. They play the Mario games. Mm-hmm. They love the IP. That's why you go to the Mario movie.
Exactly.
and all of us, I think, here, although I'm going to ask Jackie to do it because it's funnier that way, could probably do an imitation of Mario from the video games.
Oh my God.
Jackie.
On the spot.
It's me, Mario.
Exactly. Like, yeah. That's his whole bit. And Princess Peach, I mean, it's the same way with her.
Yeah, she's like, hi.
It's me, Peach.
Yeah, she's so cute.
Yeah, she's so, yeah.
When you got Toad, sound like,
yeah.
That's the one.
Wow, we're really bad voice actors, you guys. I think we just approved that to everybody.
I don't know what you're talking about. I think I did really well there. I think I'm like an exact match.
Yeah, I mean, easily.
There's a reason why I talk about
Chris Pratt. Chris Pratt. Anyway, sorry. Yeah, like do I want to say what I feel like it, or do you think, AJ?
Go ahead.
I think, like,
please.
It's funny. Someone sent it to me and I thought it was a joke. Like, yeah. I literally was like, someone like was like, what? Or like they had it on their story and I was like, is this real? I literally wrote, is this real? And they were like, yeah, it's real. I was like, no way. I mean, I get it. Like, I think that, celebrities' names do bring people in. So like they picked a bunch of celebrities and they were like, okay, that's what they're banking on. But I mean, I just am not a fan of the casting in any way. So it's like, I get picking bigger names and stuff like that. And I understand the argument that you want to use like people who originally voice. I mean, obviously, like we talked about this with Neon Genesis Evangelion. Like for me, someone who watched the dub from the 90s, like, yeah, it was like watching the Netflix dub was like, huh? You know what I mean? It was really, really hard for me, you know? But for me, I feel like maybe this is like a modern retelling and I don't even know, like whatever. So maybe they wanted to, you know, and there's all these celebrities who are super excited and wanted to be in it. But I just was like, for some reason, nobody really hit for me for when I, like, you know what I mean? It wasn't like, I was like, oh, that's a great fit. I love Anya Taylor-Joy. And so like, she was kind of like the only one I got a little bit excited for, but even I feel like she's like so cerebral for like Princess Toad. You know what I mean?
Kind of like, weird to like, I feel like Anya Taylor-Joy, great actress.
Amazing.
But I also feel like, did they cast her because she vaguely looks like Peach? Like, I don't associate her voice with being distinctive.
I don't think her voice is at all like what I would think for Peach. Because she has like a low voice. Yeah.
Right. And distinctive voices is what I think of first when I think of voice actors. It's not necessarily like how much they physically resemble a character.
Yeah,
it's,
for sure.
Yeah.
It's just the voice fit. Chris Pratt for Mario, I was like,
I don't think they'll have him do an Italian accent. Do you
know? No. But like, still, like,
but that won't sound like Mario.
Maybe it's just me. I just feel like I see Mario not being like a fuckboy douche. I don't know. That's me. I don't know. Like, if it was like, I don't know, like a Koopa.
Jackie, how do you feel about Chris Pratt?
You guys remember? Yeah, I'm like, I mean, but let's be honest.
Are you talking about Mario still?
Hold on. Chris Hemsworth, Chris Pratt, they play certain roles. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I mean, they've nailed some more serious roles. I think like Chris Hemsworth is like great in some like racing movie, but then that guy was kind of a womanizer. So you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like they know
they what have role a they're type.
Playing. Yeah, they have a type. I mean, come on, y'all. Like, nobody tell me Chris Pratt doesn't play fuckboy douches now. Like, someone in chat.
I mean, he's
like,
Star-Lord. That's what a lot of people
truly
know
is.
Him
for. Yeah. So it's like, but Mario, I don't see like that. I see Mario, I almost see him with like a lower voice, a little older voice, like a little like.
Or do you think like they're giving him a new origin story maybe? Like they're going to ditch the Italian accent, but his name's Mario.
He's a reformed fuckboy and this is his origin story.
Does Mario need an origin? I really hope this isn't like an origin story.
Yeah.
Or anything like that. It's Mario.
Yeah.
Like, they can do, I mean, they've done enough movies. This is completely speculative. They've done enough movies where it's like so-and-so gets sucked into a video game world, like they kind of did with, or, well, Free Guy isn't that. It's an NPC realizing he's an NPC. But part of me wonders, like, are they going to have Chris Pratt be the voice, and he's going to, like, wake up as Mario or something like that, and it'll be, like, fourth wall-breaking sort of situation? Otherwise, yeah.
If they do go that route, and, like, that's the story they want to tell, fine, the casting makes more sense. I don't think that makes for a good movie, personally.
Yeah.
You know what? I could have even seen Chris Pratt, maybe.
I could have seen Chris Pratt even as Bowser.
I was going to say maybe Bowser. I feel like
Jack Black is good casting for Bowser, though.
That's not bad at all. Yeah. I mean, it's not bad. I don't think
he's
it's
done
great,
more
though.
Voice
I feel
work.
Like, I feel like, well, you know what?
Chris Pratt depends, as Bowser.
It depends on the Bowser you know, because I think Bowser, there's like a playful kind of trip on himself Bowser, which Jack Black could be, but like there's also a very fearsome, scary Bowser that was what I remember him being like when I was younger. Like it was like when you got to him,
he was kind of scary.
Yeah. Oh my god! So all the Super Nintendo games, like it was like the music and everything. It wasn't like you know. I think it was almost like
you guys
played
Bowser's Fury.
I think I played that one a little bit. That was a was it 3DS or?
There was the, no, that was the recent, it was a port of Super Mario, a 3D world.
Okay.
And oh my gosh, someone said Paul Giamatti as Mario.
Paul Giamatti.
I'm sorry. I like low-key love that. Because like I feel like he should be a little older and like has a rougher voice. And like, okay, the original iconic 90s movie, like they were from New York, right?
Yeah.
Like that's what I'm seeing. Like a New York
movie as a kid. I know that it's
I did too. Oh my god, John Leguizamo, the biggest crush on him. That guy could no wrong.
And then he played Tybalt in Romeo and Juliet, and I was just
dead and dead.
Okay.
Yeah. No,
all right.
He do no wrong. But
that's
anyway.
The Mario cast. Let us know what you think in the comments about the casting or who you want to cast.
Feelings.
Or in the comments. Yeah, there's just a lot of mixed feelings.
Bring John Leguizamo back.
Yeah, bring back. Yeah, no, really, bring him back.
I know. He's great. I think he's great too. He would have been a good Bowser.
Yeah.
Like
if he had done Luigi again or something, like I feel like there's a lot.
But I'll be honest. Luigi's tall and skinny. Who's Luigi?
Charlie Day.
Charlie Day from Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
I don't even know who that is. Let me look that up.
Have you watched Always Sunny?
I know Always Sunny, but I wouldn't know the guy's name. Like
you've seen him in memes. You've definitely seen him
Charlie
in memes.
Day is not.
He's the guy who's always pointing to
either.
The board.
See,
the board.
Charlie, hold on. Charlie Day, I could see even more as a Mario than a fucking Luigi. Excuse my F-bomb. This is
it's the finale.
Upsetting me.
You're getting upset for me, so I'm just going to chill right now.
Yeah, here. I'm just like.
Because if I go off, I won't stop.
I honestly thought maybe you guys were thinking Rob McElhenney, and I was like, oh, okay, I could kind of see him as Luigi. Charlie Day is not Luigi. I am done. I don't have anything else to contribute to the conversation. Yeah.
Give us a trailer, I guess.
Yeah.
Give us a trailer. It's coming out by December next year. We should get a trailer by the spring maybe?
Yeah, spring or summer.
Or early summer.
Yeah. All right. So next up.
It's going to be a weird day.
We're talking about Demon Slayer news. So we're getting that new season. They kind of kept the premiere date hush hush for a while, and then they said it was October, and then it seemed like it was going to be too core, and now, just to disappoint me personally and make my life more difficult, the first 7 episodes of the new season of Demon Slayer is going to be Mugen Train again, only they're taking the movie and recutting it in 7 episodes. There'll be some new animation cuts in there, but I don't know, I just kind of want to know what everyone else feels like. Are you going to rewatch Mugen Train with new cuts of animation, or are you just going to wait till December 5th when the actual new content starts?
I haven't watched Mugen Train yet, so my
point this is good for you, actually.
This is great for me. I'm almost done with Demon Slayer Season 1, and when this was announced, I immediately got flashbacks to Dragon Ball Super.
Yeah.
And felt very sad because they did the same thing.
Oh, did
that's
really?
Weird. I mean, why don't they just let the movie be the movie and then just start the season?
Everyone who didn't get to see it can continue on. It's like, it's just to keep the, maximum audience.
I mean, it's definitely canon, and it was a really good movie. I thought it was a really good movie, but I guess I'm just like surprised as to why they wouldn't be like, go see the movie, or you ain't gonna know what's going on. Sorry. But,
on video on demand and everyone,
I'll watch it in the background. I thought it was entertaining enough. I mean, I'm not thrilled about that though. But,
yeah,
so then when does it technically, when does the new episodes drop?
December 5th.
So then for all of November, we're just going to see a regurgitation of Mugen Train?
Mugen Train. Like, it's not reanimated. It's just the movie with some additional animation in it.
Yeah.
So it's literally
the movie.
Just the movie.
Episodes.
7 episodes.
Sure.
Okay.
I mean,
I thought parts of that movie were slow, so I ain't gonna lie. Like,
I mean, that's why I'm glad.
I'll turn on the background
and not 12.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, there's no way that would be completely excessive. I already think 7 episodes is excessive. I was gonna say maybe they do like 4.
Yeah.
Each their own, though. Yeah.
I could see that. I think I know why they did it, though, because...
Makes money!
Well, aside from the obvious.
And easier to do. It saves money. Makes money. Saves money. Easier to do. Like...
It can be seen as a way to like save money and save manpower because they already spent so much time.
Makes money and saves money.
Which, if that's the case, then yeah, that's cool. That's like, actually
why
a good
wouldn't
thing.
You? It makes money, saves money.
Jackie, quit saying makes money, saves money.
Stop. I mean, literally, but I'm just saying, like, I get it, but it's just kind of unfortunate because it's just like.
From an editorial perspective, like from someone who is running editorial at Anime News Network, yeah. It's kind of a pain because. This is a big, big show. It wants
all to be the episode like, reviews are going to be great.
We're going to have to, yeah, we'll do episode reviews for it, even though we've already got a review of the movie up. I'm going to double dip on that. But this was also
really,
Because it's fucking Demon Slayer, Jackie.
And, yeah, you're right. That makes sense. And if there's anything, no, you're right. Anything yeah. Demon Slayer, y'all, like, I literally tell our social team, I'm just like, Demon Slayer, JJK. That's like,
but this was going to be like one of the centerpieces for Preview Guide, which, by the way, everyone, Preview Guide launches on October 1st on Anime News Network. Yay. Either right in the morning for you, reviews from 5 reviewers, every new show that'll be legally streaming, that'll be up starting October 1st. This was going to be a big part of it, but and it'll still be on there. It's just I'm a little less excited because it's going to be takes on the first episode of the Mugen Train arc instead of the Entertainment District arc. So
if they have to do this, I'm glad they're using the movie and not wasting time and manpower reanimating it from scratch like they did with Dragon Ball Super. And
they did that with Dragon Ball Super? Starting from scratch with it?
The Battle of Gods movie and the Resurrection F movie, when Dragon Ball Super came out, those two movies made up the first two arcs of the anime, and they were 12 episodes each. But they didn't just cut up the movie. They retold it with new, worse animation, storyboarding, and direction, and it was bad.
Yeah, that's weird. So, I was just gonna say that's not Toei money, but then he said it was worse, and then I was like, well, why then?
Well, Dragon Ball Super was clearly a thing of, like made in the 11th hour, so that felt more of a case of we don't really have a lot to show yet, so let's just redo the movies. Here, it at least seems like okay, the movie made us a lot of money. Let's expand on that a bit more while also giving our team more time to work on the next arc so it looks good. Because Ufotable stuff takes more time compared to other studios because of all the extra compositing work that they do. So if it looks good and like it's not making things fall apart from a production standpoint, then fine. I haven't seen the movie yet, so I can just watch.
You
get to enjoy it. Yeah. But yeah, so I'm happy Demon Slayer is back. Weird that it's going to be this cut up version. Actually, Snake said it perfectly. I could understand a recap episode, but 7, that is my mindset 100%. Yeah. But we said, makes money, saves money.
That's what you said.
That's just what Jackie said.
It's true.
All right.
You know what I said.
That's all we have for news, but before we get into My Hero Academia, I did ask Jackie and AJ to pick their 5 most anticipated anime from the October season. Now, if you don't know what you want to watch yet when October comes around, I'm imploring you to please come back to our YouTube channel on Wednesday at 5 p.m. PDT, 8 p.m. EDT, because we'll be hosting our trailer watch party. Jackie will be there, and also Sungwon Cho, also known as Pro ZD. He was at our last trailer party, so we're going to watch all of them. There's like 45 different trailers. I'm terrified.
So funny.
I know. That's going to be so long. I was like, oh.
It'll probably be at least 2 hours. But it's a great way to see every single trailer, get a really good idea.
If they're bad, we just have to be like,
next.
Yeah,
next,
like not even engage about it. Just be like, next. I'm literally going to just say that. If it's bad, I'm going to be like, next.
So but it's a great way to get caught up with what's coming out and help you make decisions. And of course, it's a great lead into Preview Guide, which we already talked about. Yeah. So I'm going to go first because I always make AJ or Jackie go first because I'm mean. So I decided to be nice this time and I'll talk about...
Yeah, she's a horrible boss. Please send help.
I am.
Please not.
You want to work here?
Yeah. No.
So I'm going to talk about my first, my top 5. The first one that I want to talk about is Ranking of Kings. So this one I'm really interested in. It was on a list of most recommended from bookstore owners in Japan called, I'm going to screw this up, Kono no Sobo. Sorry. Anyway, it's highly recommended. What it's about. This is the main character. He is deaf and mute, but he's and he's just like a little guy. Like he's really small, but he's set to inherit the kingdom, but he needs to prove himself able. He ends up making like a contract with this shadow guy that you can kind of see over here named Kage. He's like left behind a ninja sort of clan, something like that. He doesn't have a human form. I'm pretty sure he's just like a sentient shadow, and that ends up giving him powers to hold his own. The art style looks really cute. It kind of reminds me of a children's picture book. So it's very distinctive looking in a very large season. So that's the one I'm actually looking forward to the most. My next most anticipated, I have pictures for all of these, and now I'm wondering if it's if it's going to take me too long to pull them up every single time. So I'll pull up this one, and then I'll probably not pull them up anymore. This is Miruko-chan. This is a horror anime. I don't know like how much you can see how
absolutely this one looks terrifying. Great. Yeah. Really, really good.
This was actually one of mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really, really good. But yeah.
I haven't read the manga for it, but I have it. Like I bought it on Comixology, but I haven't read it yet. But the idea is that the main character here, the girl with the black hair, starts being able to see like ghosts and demons and stuff, and no one else can. And she tries to ignore them, just like keep going about her day as usual, even though she's seeing all this really scary stuff. I love horror. I think I've made that really apparent on here before. So I'm hoping it's pretty good. Get me into that October.
You know what
feel.
Stuck out to me about that one was that, we've seen like countless horror anime and anime that deals with spirits and all that stuff. But what stuck out to me about that one was that like, instead of trying to engage the spirits, she's just trying to ignore them and just like get on with her life by ignoring them. And I just thought that was really interesting because usually we see them confronting them or trying to fight them or becoming friends with them. And I thought that was like, it's very indicative of like how people deal with problems now is like, just ignore this and hope it goes away. And then it gets a lot worse. Yeah. And so I was kind of like, I want to see how that works out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, so how did that work out for her? Really?
Wasn't really I thought that, you know, animation looked great. Concept we've heard like a lot, you know, like, oh, the girl sees spirits, but it was the fact that she's like, I just, maybe this will go away or like, I don't know. Like, I can't confront this or something. Like, and it's just like, I was like, oh, okay. That sounded really interesting to me. So.
To be honest, when I read the description, I kind of thought it was a comedy. And then I looked up some stuff about
it. It looks serious to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it starts out in a comedic vein, but it does get darker as it goes along. This is another one that I'm looking forward to. It's called Deji Meets Girl, and it looks to be kind of like a rom-com. Again, I'm mostly interested in it because the art style is
distinctive. Animation's amazing. Yeah.
The animation looks really impressive, and the color looks really nice. And it takes place, I believe, on Okinawa, which is sort of a tropical set of islands off the coast of Japan. And this girl works in a hotel, if I'm remembering correctly. The boy here, his name's not Deji. Deji is like a slang term specifically in Okinawan dialect that kind of just means weird or interesting. So he starts staying there and then things get weird. Like she's like vision sort of weird. Like, is this real or is this not? Kind of magical realism sort of thing. It reminds me a little bit of Aquatope on the White Sand that was from last season. But I don't know.
Gave me those vibes too.
Yeah, I just thought it looked really cute. And hoping that the visuals kind of hold up. Now, another one, I know this one's on Jackie's list. It may be on AJ's as well. Also pretty artsy, but this is Blue Period. And this is based off a manga. It's going to be on Netflix. And it's about a boy who decides to he's made this perfect life. You know, where he's very popular, likes everything he's supposed to, does everything he feels like he's supposed to, but then he discovers art and decides to pursue art. And from what I can tell from the trailer, it looks like there's a lot of drama. I went to an art school in high school and it was full of drama. So I'm just looking to relive that, I guess. So yeah, this one will be on Netflix. Yeah, it looks pretty cute. Art looks good. He's like crying in like the entire trailer, so expecting just a lot of trauma on that. Yeah, bring on the art school trauma. Someone's gonna break up with someone, and then they're gonna write a really long poem about it and read it in front of the class, and things will get awkward or something like that. Not to speak from experience or anything.
I just got all these terrible flashbacks. I remember I was in like my English class, and they were like, you got to play a song that describes how you feel. I played like Tiger Army's Incorporeal, which is about like a ghost that nobody sees. And I was like, this is how I feel at school. And like, I remember I was like, everybody was like, you effing weirdo when it was done. It's like rockabilly punk rock. And then I was like, whatever. And I was like leaving. And then like the most popular guy at school was like, I like your song, and like walked away. And I was like, I wish, right? We're actually like kind of friends now, but it makes me laugh because it was like back then, no way he would have talked to me. But then he was like, I kind of liked your song, you know, and I was like, oh. But then it made me laugh because I was just thinking about all the embarrassing. You were just like, I went to a school of artists and stuff. I just think of just how awful high school is and how much worse it would be if I was just
we were just a bunch of kids like me.
Exactly. Like it'd been like too much.
Classmate I had, and I remember like she put her art up, and you always have like the title of the art plus the medium, like charcoal or acrylic or whatever. And I remember like one of them had blood because she used like some blood in her own painting. That was totally just normal art school stuff.
Oh my
God. Totally normal.
Totally normal. Cool stuff. All right. So my last pick for my top five is Topped Off Destiny.
This one looked good.
This looks really, really pretty. Good. I'm pretty sure it's a tie into some kind of game that's going to come out, but it's got classical music. There's like composers and duelists sort of thing. So it's kind of gave me some Fate Stay Night vibes a little bit.
She's an aesthetic like Nero from Fate.
Yeah, she looks like a saber, right? Like a saber from the Fate franchise. But the action sequences in the trailer looked really good. I think one of the conductors is like missing an arm or something, but like, so their sleeves were flowing all really dramatically while they're conducting. And anyway, so I think there might be some good action in this. Character designs look really pretty. Color looks really nice. I think some people who are connected to the Sakura Wars franchise are working on it as well. So if you're familiar with that, I don't know, kind of cool. So that is my top five. Who wants to go next? Jackie, AJ, don't rush.
I can go fast because I think we had a lot of crossover.
Okay, sure.
Blue Period, I liked because it was about imposter syndrome. And I think like that is something that I see people deal with so often. And I think I dealt with for a long time. And then kind of was like, fuck it. I said the F word so many times. I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah. But so I just was like, I just wanted to see it because I just think like people suffer from imposter syndrome all the time. And so like, I just want to see how they address that. And then I did like the one that you just brought up, the talk. I don't know how to say it.
Talk to Op Destiny.
Yeah. I think like definitely Fate vibes. I mean, I just like pretty girls in pretty dresses. Like that's like the Sailor Moon in me just always vibing, like, you know, kind of had that case study vanitis, like kind of elegant feel, you know? So I was like, all right, cool. And then like, it was more, we talked about this before the show. I didn't see like a ton of action anime. Mm-hmm. Nothing like super bloody and gory that sticks out to my little shonen scene and heart. But there was a lot of mech anime. Muv Love looks like shit. And I am cussing again to say that because that is the most
terrible trailer.
I know. I'm like, God, that trailer was like, never again. Yeah, it is. It's a Monday. The other three I picked out were Comey Can't Communicate. And I kind of like this one because I think when I was younger, I was super shy. And then I had to work really, really hard on figuring out how to like talk to people, which is funny because now it's like kind of low key my profession. But so I just like kind of vibed with her and I was like, oh, I want to see.
Comey Can't Communicate. It looks really cute. It does.
Yeah. I was really like, so again, not my style of anime at all, but for some reason, Blue Period and Comey were like, these are kind of seem like really good commentary on life, you know? For fun ones, I thought Platinum End, student who attempts suicide, rescued by a guardian angel. I mean, that just seems deep and heavy and seen in AF. That's the Death
Note guy one, too.
Yeah, and so I was just like, yeah.
I've heard it goes places.
Yeah,
it's really weird. And sexual and stuff.
Oh, really? Sexual? Okay, yeah, then it probably won't be my cup of tea.
Well, but maybe sexual in the Death Note kind of way. I don't know.
Death Note may plot-wise be like a train wreck, but I kind of
interested in watching the train wreck is where I feel with that, with Platinum End.
It looks so pretty to me. I'm like, I don't know. And it just looked like chaos. And it just sounded like suicide, angel. I was like, okay, this sounds edgy. Like Jackie's cup of tea, nuts.
Don't cut yourself.
I was like, it just sounds like batshit, right?
Yeah.
And then I also thought Deep Insanity, The Lost Child looked really good. I like Outbreak stuff. So apparently, like, there's this new illness that's, you know, slowly, steadily approaching humanity. And I just felt like it had good action and stuff like that. And, like, I was surprised I didn't really have an action one that really resonated with me. So I kind of was, like, kind of picked this one because I was like, I need an action one, you know?
That one's premise sounds kind of interesting to me. It ends up, like, centering on Antarctica or something like that. And there's like, all these weird caves underneath it and stuff. So I'm curious about that one.
It looked like it could either be really, really good or so confusing that you have to give up on it because you're like,
too many nouns.
Not getting it, dude. Yeah. Like, so I was like, I'm hopeful about it, but we'll see. So those are the other three that I thought looked really good. Also, I think we have to mention people are like super hyped about Mushoku Tensei. I know all three of us. Not really our cup of tea, but I think like everybody's like going ham about that coming back. I watched five episodes of it, and you got farther than I did.
I only watched the first one, but I will say that according to our reviewer Kim Morrissey, she's Frogcoon on Twitter. She's a fan, and she says as far as second season goes, there's no more pervert baby. So if pervert baby bothered you, there will be no more pervert baby, and maybe it'll just be. AJ's like, what? You don't
know. I will, because I follow them on Twitter. Don't they also read the light novels? Like, aren't they also a fan of that? Okay.
So I'm wondering if you could even kind of read recap and then like jump in here if the stuff from earlier on was like too gross for you or something. I don't know. I might try.
The debate or the argument everyone has given me whenever I'm like, the protagonist pisses me off. I don't like that the husband cheated on the spoiler alert, everybody. If you haven't seen it, sorry. But like it just there was some stuff that happened.
Adultery.
And I was like, I'm not and then they like tried to make it okay. And I was just like, I'm not okay with this. Like, I don't but then everyone was like, they're trying to show his evolution. And so they're showing like how he started off as this, you know, perverted baby. And then evolved into something a lot better through hardship and stuff like that. And we actually did some like video essays and some articles that like talked about like some really heavy stuff in there.
Yeah.
And about him making the right decisions in the end when presented with like really bad choices. And like, and he kind of like was giving into the bad choice, but then in the end, like didn't. So I'm like, sometimes I'm like, maybe I should give it another try, but I don't know. For me, it's really hard to watch anything that has like a pervy character. Like people love Seven Deadly Sins. I just can't get over it. There was one with the white haired guy, I think, or I don't remember, a really good looking protagonist was a plunderer or something.
Oh yeah, plunderer.
And everybody, and I love the concept of that anime, like, you know, them getting numbers and I don't know, like for some reason I like was really interested, and then it was just like, he was just such a pervert. I just like, I can't get past that stuff. But if you're telling me he's evolved and stuff like that, maybe
the animation was also really really good for me. It's a really good looking it was one of the best trailers we had during that trailer watch party.
I remember we liked it. We thought it looked really good.
What is this?
Lo and behold,
there's a pervert baby. I don't know
did they know on that day.
Did you watch it, AJ, or no?
I watched like the first two episodes and then kind of fell off. But I was more interested in just seeing people react to the show than actually watching the show itself. Because it seemed praised the hell out of it or didn't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole.
You're very right about that. People either love it or they're like grossed out, don't have anything to do with it.
Yeah, so very divisive. AJ, we haven't gotten to your top five picks, though, so why don't you tell us what you're looking forward to for the October season?
Well, they are very not interesting compared to the guys that you to the shows that you
picked. That just means to be a surprise.
Well, I do kind of want to watch the Ring Fit boxing anime, if only because, oh yeah, that's a thing that exists.
You did not put that on your list, the Ring Fit boxing.
You put the Hockey Girls too?
No. I really like sports anime. I like sports anime.
I saw that one and I was like, no, bro. No.
I thought it was a joke. And I'm like, okay, you know what? My partner has Ring Fit. I've done Ring Fit with them a couple of times. And Ring Fit's good and everything. I'm like, how do you turn that into a show? I'm hoping at best, it'll be like that show, How Heavy Are the Dumbbells You Lift, where it's like sort of educational about everything. But that's more complete curiosity. Something that I'm really looking forward to is the next Digimon show. Digimon Ghost Game. Yeah. Because we have not had original Digimon content in a long time. Especially
since... We did a Digimon video recently on Anime News Network, and it was just, like, hitting. And I was like...
People love Digimon.
Damn, people love Digimon. I never got into Digimon.
I was Pokemon first.
Pokemon, and then I was an elitist like Lindsay. I was like, oh, what is this? Trying to be like Pokemon. Like, I remember thinking that.
That's funny because I didn't say anything that suggested I was like that, but you automatically.
Well, I was thinking
was.
You. I was assuming you were of the same mindset as me. It dropped, and I was like, "How old were we?" True. Like 9 or 8, and I was like, I don't know, we were probably older than that
because I feel like I was around that age when Pokemon was on TV and Digimon came on TV later.
Maybe I was like 12,
and I was babysitting by that time.
Then we had to be 12 or 13, yeah. And watching Saturday morning cartoons, and our parents were like, "Why are you still watching this?" And we were like,
"Get out of my room, Mom."
Exactly. Anyway, that's
why are you looking forward to Digimon Ghost?
Now we're adults and we watch this stuff for a living. So
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Get out of my
room.
Who's
the loser now?
I'm not gonna lie, my parents are shocked. Like, low-key I mean, I think all of our parents are probably shocked at like what we do for a living. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I don't think there is no way that any of us in kindergarten were like, this is what I'm gonna be doing as a living. Like,
well, I'm not quite at the level of doing it as a living, but it's nice that I can sit down and watch Netflix
the bills.
Shows and be like, I'm working.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
But the Digimon, they did the reboot for the past like two, three years, and it started off okay, but then the reason why I like Digimon is because it works as like a good young character study kind of thing, because you have all these kids going through these really relatable traumatic experiences, and their relationship with Digimon is kind of what gets them out of that depression so they can turn into like good adults and not repeat the same mistakes that like I make as an adult. But
we just needed to find our Digimon, AJ.
Exactly. Where's my Agumon? why weren't you there? Adventure seemed to focus more on, it was a reboot of the original, and it seemed to focus more on action than on character. And I'm like, okay, I don't think this is for me anymore. But then this is our first new original thing in a while, and I really wanted to be good. So
yeah.
Yes, I'll be keeping up with the kids show. Sue me. I already mentioned Miruko-chan was also on my list, only because like I haven't. The concept seems funny, and then when I looked up some of the images and a bit of the manga, I'm like, oh, this seems to be like actually horror. I'm very curious to see how that'll play out because a lot of ghost shows seem to lean more towards the silly and everything. I don't think we've had a good horror anime since.
I keep trying.
People liked Another. I didn't think Another was that great. I still keep going back to the original Higurashi as like a show I actively cannot watch because
of how violent it is.
Like how violent and unsettling it is. So
yeah.
She just goes, I love that.
I love that. I'm reviewing the current season for ANN. Yeah. I like Higurashi. Yeah.
No words. I ain't saying anything. She's our boss.
I wanted to watch Call Me Can't Communicate. I really wanted to because it seemed really cute. And I have a friend, another YouTube friend, who loves the show to death. So I kind of appreciated it through osmosis through him. But it's in Netflix jail. So
I think it is, but it isn't. It'll be out at the end of October.
Oh, will it? That'll be
great. It's just like a 3-week delay. So it's going to be out at the end of October.
Oh, okay, cool. That's awesome. Yeah, then I can't wait to watch that. I do want to watch, I know this is going to sound really weird, but I want to look at my senpai's annoying. Because it seems
not
kind
of any weirder than you picking the fit boxing anime. So
you're my boss. I can't say anything. I'll accept the burn.
Hold on, for the fit boxing anime, there's not even like cute shirtless guys. That's like half the reason why I like any of the sports anime. I'm like, that's just a miss for me.
I would rebuttal, but I'm almost done with season 3 of Kuroko's Basketball on Netflix, and it's like
literally
right.
Beautiful.
This started something. I forgot.
Yeah. I'm just like, I mean, Free Alone, and then they made like some. There was like an off. You know, some spin-off or some like copying Free. I forgot what it was called, Lindsay.
Dive.
They were like, let's go from Free to Dive. Oh, sport anime. Haikyuu's the only one I ever got into. I think it's because I play volleyball. I don't know. Maybe
I pressured you into watching that.
I think you did. Yeah. And I was like,
watching it. I'm like, Jackie.
Yeah, for sure. And it was because I just find them cheesy. You know, like everyone, you know what? I know. And Haikyuu is super cheesy. But I think for me, what was so compelling about Haikyuu was that, like, I've been in those scenarios because I played volleyball. So then I think it just, like, hit me a little differently. You know what I mean? But and Free.
Free was more dramatic, but it also did have its very corny moments. I don't think there's a single sports anime that
doesn't.
Remember
when Makoto almost gave Haruka mouth to mouth? I remember.
Yep.
Yay. There was a boys' love anime on the list this year. And I like was like, but I was going to say for top 5.
List, actually,
did you?
Yeah. Are you talking about the tri-cornered window? That one will probably be really good. It's based on a really good manga that you can get from Viz's Boys Love imprint. But it's mixing psychics and supernatural phenomena with boys love. So it's got, there's a lot going on in the plot. It's not just a romance. So that one's like my number 6 tentative, I guess.
Yeah, I was like edging it. I was like, because I'll be honest, you guys know me. It's like usually all action and gore. And even for me, this was like a reach. I was like, okay, some of these are kind of like fruits baskety, but I will. You two helped me get into those more so than anybody. So
yeah. It's funny you say that because one of my tentative picks was the
Mop Loves? No, I'm kidding.
No, no. Kaginado.
The key franchise.
The key spinoff chibi series. Because I love Key.
Oh, that one cute.
It looks cute, but I'm like, okay, no, I should probably pick a real anime because I anticipated these reactions.
And then you're like, we fit boxing.
Yeah, no, exactly.
My final pick was the Faraway Paladin, if only because...
Oh, that one looked good, too. Yeah.
It looked good. Some of the stills that I saw looked really good. I read the concept. It seems a little complicated, but overall, it seems like a good high-end fantasy set. It felt like I was reading the prologue to a D&D one-shot.
Yeah, I've heard good things about the novels those are based on, too. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Looked slow to me. That was my concern.
I don't know. I'm going to try that one out too, I think. Mostly based again on Frogkin's recommendation because she's said good things about the novels.
Oh, she's great, though. If she said it was good, then maybe,
I'm looking forward to it all the more.
All right, guys.
You even look at an anime and you think, and you're like, that's going to be slow. And that's how I felt about that one. But I was like, I bet it'll be good. Yeah. Anyway, moving on.
We'll see. All right, guys. It's time to finally break into that season 5 finale of My Hero Academia. We're going to quickly run down the episode. Jackie is already shaking.
I know. Head. I was like, I was trying to restrain myself from doing that, and I don't know why I did it. So you can all see.
Yeah,
I'm
so
sorry.
Many tells. But yeah, AJ, I'm gonna let you discuss the synopsis. You know, I feel like there's a lot of groundwork laid in this episode for season 6, which is happening. It's been confirmed that's happening. We don't know when, but there will be another season. Of course, it'll.
Who could have predicted that we were going to get a season 6? I am shocked. Like, I thought this is where it all ends.
Right here.
It's such a definitive ending, right? No.
I'm sorry. No, I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to let y'all talk.
It's fine. It's fine. This episode is just kind of an epilogue to the end of the arc that we saw last week where We see everybody, the new Metal Liberation Army. I forgot the new name they christened themselves.
Paranormal Liberation Front.
Front. The Paranormal Liberation Front, except this time we're seeing it from Hawk's perspective. It's like, Oh no, what's, I did not anticipate this was going to happen, but he still has to kind of play it up that he's like, oh, this is great. And he's on everyone's side. Time is a little bit weird because, again, this is technically taking place before the Endeavor arc.
Right.
And we get a glimpse
of
that.
It's really weird.
They also don't put timestamps or anything until, like, after we're back at the present. So you kind of have to piece together, oh, this took place during this time. Mm-hmm. Because we see a follow-up to the scene we got 10 episodes ago after Hawks met up with Best Genist. And we're like, what did he do? And turns out he killed Best Genist and presented his body to Dobby, and Dobby is like, whoa, okay, even if it's not him, you straight up killed someone. Okay, cool, yeah, I'll let you
in.
Or
he took a corpse from a hospital. Come on, lame. We already know what happened here. Sorry, I was supposed to keep my mic down. No, he didn't kill, he did not kill
You don't Best believe Genus. He killed Best Genus.
You
don't
do not
it.
Kill Best Genus. If he killed Best Genus, he is dead to me for the rest of his life.
Well, he is dead to me because he's dead.
Not Best Genus, I mean Hawks. Like, there's no way he could be redeemable in any way if he killed Best Genus. There's just no way. That is a corpse from a hospital, and that's the end of the story there.
You gotta do what you gotta do. I mean,
Hawks. And Dobby is dumb. I'm dumb.
Believing anything? Now, wait a second.
Dobby doesn't care if, like, this is Best Genus. He just wants a hero to kill somebody.
But what if they just took a corpse from a hospital and then just like did something? I'm sorry.
That is a possibility.
No way. This is a shonen. There is no way that one of the heroes kills someone. This has been one of the fluffiest anime. Like season five has been fluff.
Wait.
With some drama.
Okay. I was going to say, we already know Endeavor is not a great hero and has done some shit. So I don't think it's outside of the realm of possibility that Hawks straight up killed a dude.
I'm super sketched on that. Yeah, I would super sketch on this.
It's just like, here, I kill.
The body in the bag.
When that happened, I literally was just staring and I was like, shaking my head. I was like, not like, oh, no. I was like, that's not him.
Also, that's I don't know him. If AJ has a screenshot from that particular moment, but Dobby was looking pretty nice.
Dobby is like the hood.
Yeah, Dobby. Dobby is.
I do not have a screenshot of him in the hood,
Dobby
but he is
stupid attractive.
He is for a burn victim, whatever he's got going on.
I'm just wondering, maybe like I still have some residual like 2000s era attraction to like guys with lip piercings, and that's just why.
And black hair that's kind of like spiky and like, he's got emo high school vibes for us, like 100%.
So
drama. Just kidding.
Hawks is trying to figure out, okay, so they got more numbers, they got more funding now, but Shigaraki still has to have some kind of backer. He has to still have someone who helped put him in this position. And we cut to Dr. Eggman talking to Shigaraki, being like, I'm so proud of you. Like, you are literally the incarnation of destruction right now because you can destroy anything without even touching it. Isn't it great? And he just looks at his screwed up arm like, yeah, great.
My power is killing me.
But yeah, it decays my body as well whenever I use it. So like, I can't exactly destroy everything like this without
There's
killing
some
myself.
Deku parallels there too, I think.
Yeah, no, his
yeah,
arm.
Yeah, I definitely
exactly
saw that.
He's basically coming to the doctor saying, you said you had something for me, like some kind of power. Give it to me, please. And he's like, okay, I'm going to put you in a coma for like 4 months and you're going to be in like the worst pain you've ever experienced. But when you wake up, you'll have like all of your master's powers.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, okay. There's even like this. Do I have this shot? He's like, you're going to metamorphosize into load. There we go. This beautiful, violent looking poisonous butterfly.
That was really cool.
That's actually a really cool art. Yeah, yeah, me too. Lindsay, you and I are weird. What's wrong with us? What is wrong with us? Why is this cool? I don't know.
I don't know. Like, they showed all that and I'm like, wow, neat. Yeah, cool.
Me too. I was like, I like that. Okay, moving on.
No, it's a good image, and like we kind of crossfade that with the image we saw before of him on like the stretcher table being zapped
tubes coming out of his guts,
whatever. But the 4 months—that is also how much time the kids have till they finish their first year of school, which I still keep forgetting. It's only been a year.
Yeah, I know. All right?
This has happened.
So that shot with them with the cherry blossom in springtime—that would have been the beginning of their next.
That's the beginning of yes.
Because in Japan, school starts in April. So we can presume then that once you see the sakura trees, we're back to present day. And that would also theoretically mean that Shigaraki is close to coming out of cryo hibernation or whatever you want to call it.
Right. And actually kind of skipping ahead, it's the episode ends with kind of a preview, more or less, of the beginning of the next arc, where it seems like the heroes are gathering up the kids under the pretense of extra study. To be like, hey,
Lindsay doesn't like it. I don't like that. I don't like that they tricked all the kids into thinking that they have some sort of like special field trip meetup thing. And it's like, actually, we're going to storm the castle, guys.
Yeah, we need you to help evacuate this city because all the heroes are storming the castle.
Yeah, yeah.
Very child soldier-y. And again, I don't like the fact that they're basically tricking everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how many of the heroes actually know what's going on too, because even Endeavor, a few episodes ago, when Hawks was relaying the information, he's like, the Hero Society isn't like telling us everything, basically.
Right. Yeah.
So it's and even Aizawa and All Might are kind of starting to piece that together, like something's coming, and I just want to like protect these kids.
Yeah.
This is literally like kind of the last nice moment we're seeing with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about their work studies.
That could have been literally summed up in 2 minutes, but for some reason decided to take a third of the episode.
Yes.
That's my humble opinion.
I knew this was going to happen.
Oh, I knew you both were watching. We're like, Jackie is going to not be.
I'm thinking, we called that last week. It's like, it looks like they're just going to kind of like keep it mellow next episode. So Jackie, please don't throw your monitor at the wall.
Like, this is supposed to be the season finale. This is supposed to be the end of the season. Like, this has been one of the most disappointing seasons to me for MHA, to be honest. And, like, that's saying a lot because I thought the second half of season 4 was pretty brutal. Sorry, Gentle Criminal. Like, adorable, but way too long of an arc. Like, and then this finale kind of topped it for me. But this part in particular in the finale, I was just like...
Where it's just the kids
kind of... Are they joking? Yeah, like, I'm like, are you joking? Like, we know. We are well aware they've been training. Y'all spent half of the season on that.
But we
like,
got some good shipping moments.
That was cute.
That was cute.
Literally, they could have been like, hey, we're all working hard. We've been trying to improve. And then, like, it could have gone to Deku, and he'd be like, yeah, I've even got my black whip together. And then Uraraka would have been like, yeah, and I did this after learning from that moment. And whole thing done in 2 minutes.
Yeah, I mean,
y'all know I ain't wrong. It just what it is.
I do want to talk about Ori a little bit.
Yeah, this confused me. What was happening with her?
Her horn is growing.
Yeah, her horn is growing, which means that her power is starting to manifest again, right, AJ? Isn't that what that's?
Yeah, because when I forgot his name, Copy douche guy from class 1B,
right,
copied Ares' power. He's like, okay, this seems to do something, but it seems like it needs to store energy, and it seems like the more energy she stores, the bigger her horn gets. So she's her quirk is reawakening, basically, I guess, because it had enough time to store more power,
so she needs to exert it or release it in some way to probably prevent bigger issues.
If you remember, they were going to train her on how to control it when she was ready.
Right. And Aizawa says in this that he plans to start her training again soon when he comes out to talk with All Might. I also thought Aizawa, like, low-key still, like, best teacher, best single dad.
Yeah, I was going to say he's a good dad.
We love him. Yeah.
I know. Yeah. We also got some additional info, right, about Deku's current powers that he has. The next one he plans to manifest, which is float.
Can we just appreciate?
Yes.
Oh, she's so great. She's
amazing. Yes.
Yeah. I love it.
She looks amazing. Yeah. I like low-key want to cosplay her. I just think she's like just beautiful.
Do it.
I know. Do I mean, there's no reason not to.
We I will help like, you.
And then just start throwing people. Jackie. I know. You gotta like get real swole and then you start throwing assholes all over the place.
I know.
And be like, who wants next?
I'm low-key obsessed with her because I think like she was probably, you know, like, she's like this powerful woman given like this huge responsibility. And I think that like we hate what happened with her son. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'd love to hear more about it, but I feel like she really felt like a duty for saving people. And I just would love to see an episode on her where you just see her torn in all these different directions. I personally, and I mean, I'm sure Lindsay can speak to this more than I can, but like, I feel like she made the wrong decision not being there for her son. You know what I mean? But I want to see the backstory where it shows her have remorse for that, like in her last moments. Anyways, I think that like, she's just a great character.
Not a Shimura, a movie.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like I would love to see, I just feel like, why haven't we seen more from her? Like, she's so iconic.
And, I'd like to see more interactions of her with All Might, because I'm sure she was formative for how All Might ended up as well, right? She trained him.
Because Gran Torino trained her, right? And then she trained All Might. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I would love to see even Gran Torino and her and Nana and with All Might, like any of that. Like, I don't know why we're getting eight episodes on kids, you know, running around and, you know.
Well, it's also unfortunate that she died really young. Like that is.
But all of them died
really
young.
They were hunted by All for One ever since like the power was first passed on. So it was, even All Might says like these people weren't chosen ones or anything. It was just kind of a best person to trust at the last possible.
He called them entrusted, and I actually I love that. Like I was like they were entrusted. They weren't chosen.
I would also think of it as like passing a baton, right? You're trying to keep this baton ahead of
going all for one,
because if he catches up to you, he's going to absorb that power for himself. So you just pass it to the next person so they can run further ahead and like get them off their trail. 100%. And then by the time he figures them out, you got to pass it to someone else. Also, low-key Gran Torino looking like a silver fox down there.
I know! I want to see more of this!
I want to see, like, I know age and stress makes you shrink. I want to know, like, I want to see the real-time change of him from this stallion here to
stallion.
Oh my gosh!
He's like three feet tall. He's shorter than he's like half Deku's height.
Yeah. I mean, there's like perspective stuff going on here. Like, I feel like if the camera went up, maybe like I don't know. It still feels
flashbacks of them standing next to each other. They're close in height when he's this young.
Oh, okay.
Are they? I thought he was always short. See, I thought the same as Lindsay. I thought he was always just kind of like a shorter guy.
Yeah, short but fast. You know.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And still, like, I'm assuming like super in good shape, because look at Nana and All Might when they're using the abilities. You know, so.
So I know Jackie might not have, but I actually liked the party scene. Like, I wasn't so much for like the power show off scene, but
it was
I liked the interactions of the party scene. I liked Bakugo calling Todoroki out and not being able to properly chop his green onions. He's like, your sister would be so disappointed in you. And then he like starts doing it. He's like, oh, you're good at that. And he's like, no, I'm just not horrible like you or something. Anyway, that was kind of cute.
When's Bakugo going to open his own restaurant?
Yeah.
Bakugo. I found the scenes with Bakugo and Deku kind of endearing too, when he was like, oh, I'm better at you than something. I win. That was such an Aries move. Yeah. That's a very young.
I already know how to fly.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you going
to
do?
I win. Bye. Exactly.
Yeah, I like how Deku kind of fired back. He's like, nah, I'm going to master it. I'm going to be even better than you. Because you're before, Bakugo would have been more aggressive, like tell him to kill himself or something. And Deku probably would have just not said anything, but there is more of a rapport back and forth in All Might.
There's back and forth that doesn't feel like bullying. Right?
Yeah.
Like they're both just sort of like poking at each other a little bit.
Like, this is how they banter, basically. Mm-hmm. And
it was cute.
We've got Hawks basically, like they have the party, and we got Hawks just basically being like, okay, so we just gotta find he's like, we're so close to figuring out the end of this, but I know what my timetable is. I know what we have to do. I just need to know where we're going. And then the episode just kind of
ends. Like at this point, timeline wise, the thing with Aizawa and his old friend being inside, sorry, I can't remember his name right now, the shadowy dude, that has happened, and he's told the hospital keyword has gotten to Hawks, right? That's why Hawks knows.
Yes, they're just, they got the code word. He's like, we have a clue, hospital, what does that mean? And he's starting to think maybe that has to do with the backer that Shigaraki has.
There was also mention of Stain really briefly, and that was confusing to me. I don't know where that's slotted
because Stain's supposed to be executed.
Oh my god.
So they put off.
I was so excited. And then, of course, I knew they weren't going to show it, but they just had to, like, lay that on me that we were going to see my boyfriend.
Well, if you read the manga, Lindsay, have you read the latest chapter, the last
two? I'm not completely caught up.
Okay. In the manga, I'm very curious what you think.
I think I know the entire, pretty much the entire next arc, and then possibly.
No. Yeah. I was talking more so because we were talking about some characters and.
Yeah. So Stain shows up in the latest arc, latest chapter or something, AJ. Sounds like I need to. Like,
I wasn't going to say that, but yeah, he does come back. You don't have to worry about that. But I can't remember if he said, like, oh, we're postponing his execution or we're postponing you visiting him.
The visit.
Until we get some of this stuff situated. And All Might's like, yeah, okay, that's fine. I've got other things I have to work on, basically. That's it. It's nothing, not a major thing. He's still in jail.
Yeah. Still in Tartarus.
Not going to see him for a while.
Yeah. I thought the scene between Aizawa and All Might was actually pretty good as far as, like, their conversation back and forth and All Might trying to reconcile his retirement. Like, he still hasn't accepted his retirement, and he talks about feeling frustrated about not being able to, like, actually fight with the kids.
I like how he says he wants to live.
Yes. Or he said he chose
because to. Because that does kind of confirm something that I felt like for a while, that he wanted to go out.
Yeah.
As like a hero, like with a bang, and he had his moment, and he's like, and now I'm still here, and I don't really know what to do. Yeah. But now he's starting to kind of find the resolve of, well, I want to see what they do. I want to nurture them. I want to see. I think he's realizing what he potentially would have missed out on if he went out in his like the martyr that I think he kind of wanted to go out as.
Yeah.
And he's reconciling that, which is good.
That was a good moment. I thought actually, like, I thought that this season finale was filled with a lot of BS moments. That was, I thought, a good moment. Like, him just like talking about feeling powerless and everything. And Aizawa was just like, you just need to live.
Yeah.
You know? And I was like, and that's so hard for him. You know what I mean? Yeah. But it's like, it's so hard for him to be like sitting on the sidelines, but it's also like, imagine if he was gone and how that would affect those kids. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, really, like, it's like at this point, like, you're being selfish, wanting to do more. Like, I thought it was a really powerful conversation, actually. Like, I was like,
Aizawa,
more of this, please.
He keeps his idealism in check a little bit.
Yeah.
Aizawa was such a great character that is so underrated.
People love him.
I love Joke. Get on that. She was such a great character. Like, just teasing him, and she was like so funny and like just poking fun at him the whole time. Like, I feel like that is exactly
he needs a wife that doesn't take things as seriously.
I love their dynamic, and then I thought they would be kind of like this like power couple we'd see in the show, and then like we never saw her again.
Maybe we will.
I've cosplayed as her. I love her.
Yeah, maybe we'll see her next season when all the shit goes down with all the heroes and the villains. But I think to actually kind of wrap it up. I mean, I guess my final thoughts on it is, as the season as a whole, is it was very up and down for me. I wish that certain things. I think the rearranging of the arcs, not so much from the timeline perspective, but more from a thematic perspective. I would have liked it in the original order because we ended up with a lot of really heavy emotional stuff at the end. And I would have, if that was sort of interspersed with some of the lighter stuff that was way at the beginning or something, or at least that feel, because I felt like the first half of the season was very light as far as, I mean, we got the Deku's development with his new like sub quirk, so to speak, but the actual emotional content was much lighter. It was more fun. You know, you had the students doing all the fighting. And then after we finally got out of that chunk, it was just like everybody sad and horrible stuff over and over and over again, which is important for the character backstories and to understand them. And while I think those arcs were handled really well, as
the placement was not.
The placement just led it to be like really, really heavy. And if you were like me and there were any like parts of your actual life that you could see in those arcs, that made it like difficult to watch week after week after week. It was like, oh God, like I didn't sign up for therapy for this. I'm just trying to watch the new Shonen Jump show. Okay. Like
I know. And it was,
so that was a lot. I thought it led to really good discussion and it gave us some really important things to talk about. And it was interesting to see, you know, a show targeted towards this younger audience deal with those issues, which I think could be really useful for kids who might see some of their lives reflected here and to be able to help them process that kind of stuff. But just from a viewing experience, it made it really heavy. There were things that my feelings on like the first arc aren't quite as strong as Jackie's, although I definitely understand where she's coming from with that. As far as how time was used this season, I would have liked maybe a little more padding or breathing room in the latter half to get better established with the Destinette folks, the Metal Liberation Army folks. Yeah, Redestro and Curious and all of them. Like, I thought that they were really interesting, had interesting designs and were an interesting concept. I guess I just would have liked to see them kind of having a role earlier in the season in little parts to kind of build up to the big part at the end. But I mean, overall, I mean, especially now that I'm ahead in the manga and I know what's coming, I'm definitely going to be here for season six. Like,
same.
I know for sure.
We can't watch this many seasons and give up. We're like, we're trapped. It's like me with Dragon Ball. I was like, Super, it was not really that great for me, but I was like, well, I invested my youth into this shit, so got to be here for this.
Yeah.
I will say, no, I'm stuck. You are stuck. On the plus side, I don't think your critiques or complaints about this season will probably ever come up again.
Mm.
That's what you told me about the second arc.
That's what I said, but I didn't know they would do what
rearrange they things.
Yeah.
You were actually gone for that week, I think, Jackie.
Yeah, that was the one.
Yeah, for the week when it was revealed that things were rearranged, I think it was just me and AJ, and AJ was just like,
oh, right. That was awkward because literally before, like, so my villain academia, right? Yeah! And then we got to the weekend, like, oh, what? I don't know what's going on. And then they revealed, because they didn't even reveal it early. They revealed it partly into the rearrangement that, like, oh, yeah, we're rearranging the arcs. No, we're not going to tell you why. Enjoy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, honestly, I'm just going to be candid here. I thought that this was a disappointment on so many levels. I thought that the first part of the season was boring. Had like the biggest highlight to me is Mushroom Girl. I think that's like terrible that's all I can think of.
Oh.
And then she's epic though. She's pretty dope. I know you're like obsessed. Like I said, that's the highlight, like truly the highlight for her, like maybe even overshadows the whole season for her. But and then I just was so disappointed by the Metal Liberation Army. Like I thought they seemed like really cool villains. Everybody was like, could they be the best villains yet? And I'm like, dude, if these people can give Stain All For One, Overhaul, like these great villains are run for their money, like I'm like, then bring it. And it was like, we didn't get to know any
they
of
were
them.
Just a liar,
Redestro turned out to be a little bitch. Like I was just like, this is just so disappointing on so many levels. Honestly, parts I liked, and we said this already, Aizawa and Present Mike and their friend. Like I thought that was a really good episode. It was an episode.
Yeah.
You're going to
yeah.
tell me that's going to yeah. be one episode? Like give those people more airtime. Would have loved to see more of Hawks and Dobby. You know what I mean? Like, I thought that was like a really good, like power struggle.
We did see a little bit of present like here when Aizawa is like, so what are you going to do now that we know if you find the people that like did what they did to our friend? He's like, I'm going to give them a karaoke session. He like looks the most serious.
I know. I loved it. I love them. And I like loved hearing about their friend and how he was like tortured. And he ended up being like, I can't remember his name. It's like, it starts with a K, but you know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's long. Yeah. Yeah, but it's just like, I just felt like there were so many things they could have capitalized off of and they didn't. I do think we had some really good conversations about this season, which I think Lindsay said, like, it is great that it's starting these conversations, you know? That was not Sugar Rocky, right? That was re-showing the friend, right?
Yeah, that was us bringing us back to the present.
Yeah. I mean, like, this is probably one of the most, like, that episode, I think, maybe did it bleed into two episodes? Maybe it was, like, a little bit of the end of one episode and then it went into the other. But, like, this was really good. But then I fully agree with Lindsay about pacing. Like, I just think that it could have just could have been a lot better. And I'm really disappointed, to be honest. But I will watch because I'm stuck, so.
I was also going to say before, in the current episode and also the last arc, compared to previous seasons, we usually get, like, the final battle is usually visually, like, this really big deal, right? Especially with the overhaul arc and things like, and against Stain.
Oh my god, yeah. Like,
we didn't get that with the Redestro Shigaraki fight. On the other hand, I thought there were a lot of shots in this episode that were really good. They might be kind of lifting the art style a lot from the manga, but there were close-ups of, like, Shigaraki's face and stuff in the last episode here that were really kind of creepy. Like,
there's a lot of, like, really well-drawn stills compared
there's a lot of really well-drawn stills. But yeah, we didn't get the same, like, sort of amazing animation sequence at the end of this season like we had in the past. Unless I'm misremembering it, AJ. Do you think that's accurate?
I'm sorry, repeat the question?
Do you think we got, like, the big, spectacular, like, animation sequence at the end of the season the way that we had in the past, or no?
The one animation sequence when Shigaraki straight up wrecks the town and you kind of see the Redestro flying and we get some nice smears, that looked really nice. And in some sequences with Shigaraki moving around Redestro, but the overall, the fight wasn't a highlight in animation. I would almost say the fight between Deku and Gentle Criminal was more dynamic and had more fluidity to it than this. It just felt a bit messier, I guess, compared to what we're used to. And I think that's the best way I can describe this season. It was
totally, yep.
It hit all the right notes. Like, it was, I wouldn't call it a failure. Like, it hit, it. What's that saying? Trimming the fat and some of the meat is what
that's a good, good way to put it. But then what was all that, like, crap in the beginning? Because that was,
that is probably the most straight, the
you
thing
know what,
that
AJ,
was adapted
hold on.
From
let
the
me,
manga.
Let me take it back. You are right. Mm-hmm. But they did the reverse in the beginning. They gave too much, like, they left too much fat on for the first half, and then they trimmed too much meat in the second
off
half.
The second
that makes
half,
sense?
Yeah.
Like, that you hit it on the head there. Like, it was like, if they just taken a little bit of more fat off in the beginning, that I would have probably enjoyed some of that more and seeing the new characters, like, shine. Shinzo, we fell in love with Shinzo. Mushroom Girl. Yeah. And even
I think
it's good that we saw
like 100%.
Because we will see more of them in the next arc. Like, all of the students play a part in the next arc, not just Class 1A.
Yeah, I'm kind of over it now, though, because overexposure in the first half of this season.
Yeah, that is
but
true.
Maybe I'll fall in love with them again. But then I agree with you that I think that for the second half of the season, it was like, tell me if I'm wrong here. Like, I felt no connection with the Metal Liberation Army. Like,
no.
Stained, I was like, bro, you're crazy. You need a hug. You're driven, like, just by, like, your motive by yourself. Like, Overhaul was just, like, so cold and so badly wanted to get, like, his end too. And we all know, like, I just think All For One he's one of those great villains. I don't think a lot of villains these days can get away with just being evil with no backstory. But for some reason, he can just be, he's just, you know, just so classically so evil that you're just afraid of him. Yeah, like, I feel like Stain and Overhaul had, like, some complexity to them. You know what I mean? But it was like, I don't know. I just, these villains, I was like, oh, they're dead? Okay. Like, cool.
Yeah, that was present in the original manga too, where it's like they kind of introduced these interesting concepts. But at the end of the day, they're just a ladder to climb. They're just a force for the villains to take down so they can get their power up. When I think you could have had it both ways, where it's like, oh, this is actually interesting kind of commentary on top of, oh, okay, well, you could have made it more seamless. And I think my biggest issue is I think maybe that first half wouldn't feel like it drags on so much if it's all about contrast. The villain arc wasn't supposed to be the climax to a season.
Right.
It was supposed to be the contrast to that arc.
Right.
It was supposed to be a sense of like, these kids are, we're seeing these kids grow in an area where there aren't really a lot of stakes.
Mm-hmm.
This is like the last time they'll get to kind of do that for a while. And then contrast that with the villain arc where it's like, no, they need to put their lives on the line to get their shonen power up, basically. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a case of, it's almost like a difference in perspective where it's like, okay, here's what it's like evolving as a hero in this society, and this what it's like evolving as a villain in this society.
Yeah.
That's why those things, I think that's why those things are supposed to happen literally at the same time.
Yeah.
But we don't get that payoff the same way in the anime because we immediately go into the Endeavor Agency arc, and maybe they want, maybe they, there are dozens of theories. Maybe it was the movie. Maybe they saw the villain arc as like, oh, we can end it on a climactic note, because otherwise if we paced it like we did, then that episode with Aizawa and President Mike would have been the second to last episode.
I would have been okay with that too.
Yeah. If anything, I think that would have made for a more enticing cliffhanger for the next season.
Because it would have been like hospital, and then it would have been the end there. Well, we would have had this Hawks episode sort of at the end there, but we would have, that would have been what we were left hanging on. Yeah.
Like, imagine if this was the last shot that the season ended on. Like, if we didn't know about what Shigaraki was doing or anything, and maybe the scene here where he's talking to the doctor, that's the start of season six. Yeah. I think that would have been, I would think that would have made for more like gripping television, you know?
Right.
Overall, it's like, this was probably one of the most character-driven seasons, and I think that's the thing that saved the season.
The characters. I agree that getting the backstories to a lot of the characters, especially the Shigaraki backstory, did a lot for keeping my interest in it.
And the stuff with Endeavor and the Todoroki family, like, I don't think we had a quote-unquote bad episode halfway through the show. We always had something to talk about, and I loved... And I guess I'll transition this into like my ending speech, because this is my last time here for the foreseeable future, unfortunately. But
not for the foreseeable future.
Well, not like I'm not
last, not the last time ever. You're what?
No, not the last
we
time.
We don't know exactly when AJ will be back.
Yeah,
we don't know when I'll be back. Like, I probably won't be back to talk about.
So intense. I was like, what?
No. I'm not going away or anything. At least if you guys, like, I'll always come back if you guys want.
He makes a ton of content for Anime News Network, y'all. Like, at least one video a month. So, and he writes a bunch of articles too. So make sure you keep in touch and bother him. So
yeah,
he's great.
Yes, please. I do want to kind of say thank you guys so much for bringing me on here, and it was fun talking about, Lindsay, you mentioned in email that this is kind of the highlight of the week for the past 6 months.
Yeah.
I know, that's crazy. I did not know it was that much. Like, that is wild, y'all. That is wild. I was like, shoot.
But this was a lot of fun. I think in some ways, even when like I had bad days or stuff like that, just kind of getting, using the episodes as kind of like a means of talking about things. I loved learning more about you, Jackie, and I'm so appreciative that both of you guys felt comfortable enough around me to disclose things. And I grew comfortable enough to disclose things around you in this open setting, which is something I've been working on personally for like the past year or two. So I respect you both. You're both incredibly capable women. I respect you both immensely. I'm happy to be working alongside you and under you at times. And even if this season wasn't great, part of what made it good to watch was to have these shows every week and talk about it. That definitely elevated the material for me in a way.
For sure, yeah. And you contributed so well.
I just breathed some pepper or something.
I know, you're so sweet. Aww.
So thank you guys. And thank you everyone in chat for coming all this time. It was great to like read everything. And I look forward to the next time you guys bring me back.
Yay. Aww.
Hopefully it'll be sooner rather than later. Yeah. Thank you everyone for tuning in to the after show following My Hero Academia. We will be back next week. Not super sure which anime we'll be talking about, probably just kind of give you our opinions on stuff as it airs. But yeah, also if there's a particular show as the season gets rolling that you're really excited about, want to see us talk about, make sure to let us know. You can either hit us up on Twitter. I'm at @ANN_Lindsay, or you can at Jackie Jing, all one word for her there. You can see how to spell it if you're not sure. It's on her video right there. But anyway, and make sure to, as Jackie said, continue to check out AJ's content that he makes for us. We'll be having a dubs you can watch video coming out pretty soon from him, because he keeps up on all the great new dubs that are coming out and which ones are the best to watch. And I will see you guys on Wednesday for the trailer watch party. Remember, that's at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. We'll be there with ProZD, aka Sun Wan Cho. Anyway, it's been great chatting with you all, and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.